Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus says in the parable in Matthew chapter 22, I have prepared my dinner. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you know what the main work of the church really is? Yes, we are called to make disciples of all nations. But the purpose is to call all nations to come to the wedding feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which knows no end. Today, as we consider calling all nations to the feast and the mission work in Togo, West Africa, where our former vicar Jacob Gaugert now serves as a missionary, we consider the joyful reality of the feast that the Lord has prepared for us. Already in Isaiah 25, we heard of this feast, that on the mountain of the Lord, that is the New Jerusalem in heaven, He prepares a feast of rich food and wine. He swallows up death forever. It's gone. He wipes all tears from their faces. He takes away our reproach and our sin. We are His people. He saves us. We are glad and we rejoice because the wedding banquet has been prepared for us. You are invited to this wedding banquet. Will you attend and will you support the mission work of the King who wants to call all nations to the feast? That's our focus this morning. And we're first going to look at the wedding banquet and feast. Then we're going to look at the wedding invitees, and then we'll look at our wedding clothes that we must have on at the banquet. So let's look first at the wedding banquet and the feast. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to those who were invited to the wedding feast. Come to the wedding feast. All is prepared. This king, of course, is God the Father, who from heaven prepares the wedding feast for his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and has sent his servants, his prophets and apostles throughout history to invite all nations to the feast. I have prepared the feast. The oxen, the fatted calves are slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the feast. You see, the entire work of the King's Son, Jesus, was preparing this feast for us. In Jesus' ministry, His teaching, His miracles, whether He gave sight to the blind or enabled the deaf to hear, His suffering in our place before Pontius Pilate, His crucifixion as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, His glorious resurrection and ascension, He has gone to prepare this place for us. And He prepared this way by taking our sin upon Himself and giving His righteousness to us, a royal robe of His righteousness. A word about first century wedding banquets. This was not an ordinary wedding feast. This was the king of the entire country having the wedding banquet for the prince of the country, his son. The king would spare no expense. He might even have architects and builders build a special new building for this wedding banquet and another building to host and hold all the guests. It would be like a fashionable spa. You would arrive there hot and exhausted and dirty, and they would manicure and give you a pedicure and a wash and a bath and new clothes so you would look your best at the wedding banquet and feast. And the word went out by oral communication. The invitation had already gone out. Door to door, the king's emissaries went to people and said, you've been invited to the feast. Put it on your calendar. And the people RSVP'd and said, we will come. Then when all the preparations were ready, these same servants went back out to the same homes, knocked on their doors, and said, come, the feast is ready, the banquet for the prince is here. Though some will attend, others give excuses and say, I have a farm to take care of, I have a business, and then some even injure and kill the servants who were sent with a message. You see, the generosity of our Father and God, who brings the Lord Jesus Christ to all the nations, the feast is eternal life, the servants, the prophets and apostles, and their pastors who have gone into the world evangelizing and teaching. And those who simply refuse to believe are rank unbelievers who will not repent and say, no, the things of this world are of more interest to me. I'm not coming to the banquet. The Jewish people themselves, when their own Messiah came to them, some would believe that Christ is their Messiah, and some rejected and said no. So the Lord says, now send workers out into the roads and the highways and byways, and bring in the good and the bad, the Gentiles of all the nations, because I want the wedding banquet filled with guests. And our Lord Jesus Christ has called you to that wedding banquet and feast. You see, the reason we can rejoice in the Lord in all circumstances and have the peace of Christ, which transcends our hearts, guard our hearts and minds, and so we're anxious about nothing, is that when you have this perspective of your life, the Lord is preparing your whole life here on earth so you can come to the wedding banquet in heaven. When you know that, that peace guards your hearts, and you bring all your needs to Him in supplications and thanksgivings and prayers, and you don't worry about anything because you put it into the hands of the Lord who has called you to His wedding banquet and feast in heaven. If that's the wedding banquet and feast, who are the people invited to the wedding, and how do they respond? Jesus goes on, those who are invited and now are called to come, some said they would not come, others paid no attention, others went off to his farm, another went off to his business, and seized the servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. And the king would send his troops to come, destroy and burn down their city. And then they went to the main roads to proclaim to all the wedding banquet and feast. And it was filled with guests. Those invited are the nations of all the world. The Jews first, and then the Gentile nations. And the gospel call has gone out. The preaching of the word that you're hearing now, the teaching that has come into your life, and your reading of the word of God, the fact that you've been baptized and Christ's royal robe of righteousness was placed upon you. You heard the word of absolution, the king's word saying, you can come into the banquet, your sins are forgiven. And as we come to Holy Communion, a foretaste of the feast to come, where he gives us his body and blood under the bread and wine, he calls forth faith in you, that you would believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses your sin and that you have the free gift of eternal life. It is true, some hear and will not believe. The sad reality is that among the Jewish nation, and of course the first disciples were Jews, others would not believe. They wanted to live their own life, and they wanted nothing to do with the Son of God, and they did not believe he was the Messiah. The sad reality is that if you know your history, you know that literally God allowed the Romans to go in and burn down the temple in Jerusalem and destroy it because they had rejected the Savior who had come to them. And we know that many people still today will use excuses for not wanting to come to the Lord's banquet, the wedding banquet, and feast. It struck me how the excuses given by the people in this parable are so similar to what every pastor hears when someone hasn't been in church for a long time, and I remind them, you remember the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we will honor, that we will respect God's divine word, that we will come to it, hold it sacred, and gladly hear and learn it, and not despise preaching and the Word. And how often when people have either fallen away from the church, fallen away from the faith, and have no more interest in Christianity, in divine worship, and in the gifts, that the excuses are always the same. I've got a farm to take care of, and I got to mow the grass. I only have the weekend, and I have a lot of business things to take care of. I don't have time for church. On and on the excuses go. But you know what the problem is with people's understanding of the third commandment? Do you know what the word Sabbath means? It means rest. Remember the rest day to keep it holy. All during the week, you are besieged by the world, by work, by the woes of this life. You come here to church to rest in the means of grace, the hearing of the word, remembering that you're baptized, receiving the Lord's Supper. You're not coming here for work, you're coming here for rest. And it is true, it is work to get up in the morning and come to church, but you're not coming here and punching a religious time clock. You are coming to receive the feast and the gifts of God that you might rest in Him. You see, remembering the rest day to keep it holy, we come here in preparation for the eternal rest in the heavens, the banquet that knows no end. And then the last part of this parable is very important. It's the wedding clothes that you must have on. It was common, if a king this wealthy was having this great big banquet, that they would fit you with your own wedding garment that you would wear, and these banquets would last sometimes for an entire week. It was unheard of for you to come in your street clothes to insult the king. But he finds someone that tries to sneak in. He's a party crasher. He's come into the banquet and he's wearing street clothes. And the king says, "How did you get in here without your wedding garment?" And he was speechless. This is a picture of unbelievers who think, "I don't need Jesus, so I'm going to try to sneak into heaven some other way. Because I'm a pretty good person, and I don't think Jesus is all that important to me, and so I'm going to find God my own way without Christ." Well, it cannot be done. No one can come into the wedding banquet without the wedding garment that Jesus gives us. So the attendants take this man, bind him hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a picture of hell being eternally separated from God. Such is the fate of all those who don't need Jesus, who don't want Jesus and want to live their own life, thank you. And then God has to say, "Well, your sad fate is, if you didn't want me here on earth, then you're not going to have me for all of eternity and will forever be separated from me." That is not what the Lord wants for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, in holy baptism, gave you a robe of His righteousness. He took the tattered, filthy rags that we had and put them on Himself, and was crucified in our place. And in His resurrection, He gives us the royal robe of righteousness that we have in Christ. In the book of Revelation, the saints are wearing white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb, but those robes are white. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God to take away your sin and to give you His righteousness. The reason we can think on those things that are excellent and worthy, and that the peace of Christ can be with you, the reason we can be content in all situations, as Paul said, "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me," is that we are standing before God in the royal robe of Christ's righteousness, and we do and we will have everlasting life, now and forever. This is what Christ came. This is why Christ came, to give you that royal robe. This kingdom of heaven, of course, is prepared not only for us, but for all nations. The reason we have our church and school and campus ministry here, and by the way, if you come down here during the week, you're going to see the many nations in our children. You will see all colors of skin among our children in our childcare and school, of different languages and nations learning about Christ. We focus today on the work of Pastor Jacob Galgert, our former vicar, who's now a missionary in Togo, West Africa. And here in West Africa, in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana, which became a church in 1958 and a new seminary in 2013, there's between 400 and 1,000 congregations and preaching stations, 29,000 communicant members, and Pastor Galgert is one of the trainers and educators for this work in West Africa. We will send you an attachment of this of his newsletter this week in an email so you can read everything that's being done there in Togo, West Africa. And what is so beautiful about focusing on mission work is that the mission might be here or the mission might be there, but in your daily vocation, the living out of your life as a Christian, it's amazing how Jesus will use you to bring others to the feast and wedding banquet. After all, this wedding banquet is definitely way better than the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. It's better than the place you go on vacation. It's better than the luxury cruise in the Caribbean or Hawaii. It's even better than Grandma's Thanksgiving dinner. Because this is the wedding banquet and feast that has no end. May we be fervent in our desire to be at the wedding banquet and feast. Through faith in Christ Jesus, putting aside all the excuses, putting aside all the reasons the world thinks it's not worth our time, and as the Spirit invites us to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we speak those words of that Lenten hymn, which is very fitting for this text. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Christ's righteousness is your wedding garment. May we who have been invited come to the feast, not just here, but the feast prepared for us for the foundations of the world, and use us to bring all the nations to the wedding feast of the Lamb. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.